time to be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist. Joey B. has researched grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B.'s Outdoor Adventure. Today's show is a two-part series. The series is titled Backyard Birding. And then for those of you that are going, well, okay, this show is not for me. Well, how many of you out there would love to have less insects around your house? Flying insects and all this. Ah, now I got you. See, we're going to correlate today by having some birds around your house with less insects. So, you know, there's nature for everyone. And I'm going to show you some really neat things, tell you some really cool things about how you can enjoy nature a little bit closer to your front door, back door to your house. This show was brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or in one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. Now, part one on backyard birding is about feeders and bird houses. So we're going to include part two in that cast of characters. You know, who are the friendly birds in your backyard? And I'll get up close and personal with them. You know, I am in my studio right now, glass enclosed, beautiful, because I get to view nature. You know, it's Joey B's Outdoor Adventure, except obviously I do these shows indoors. Time of the year when it's just not warm enough out. It's close, but it's just not warm enough to open up the windows so I could actually hear some of the birds. Before we went on the air, I was walking into the studio, and I was near one of the other windows, and I heard a red-bellied woodpecker call, and I go, man, that's cool. Got me psyched for what I'm going to be doing today. So let's talk bird feeders. Let's talk about the types, where to hang them, and what do you fill them with? Well, there's two types of feeding birds. There's birds that feed, will go to your feeders, and then there's other feeders. A second type is called platform feeders. So let's break them up into those two categories, and let's begin to chat about those. Well, the typical feeder, when you go into your local nursery or wherever you're going, hardware store, and you see the feeders, many of them, again, they're marketing them, they're hanging them. We call them tube feeders. They look like tall plastic tubes. I mean, there's so many various feeders. That's the one we'll concentrate on today. Well, you purchase your tube feeders, and they sell them with little pegs that, and you'll actually see them, that are there. And these pegs do not need to be on there. Birds that will come to your feeders can actually cling on to the hole where the seed is and get it. So my recommendation, some people leave the pegs on. My recommendation, anytime I've used a tube feeder, I've pulled those pegs off and had just as many birds. And I'm going to come back to those pegs a little bit later on, and you'll see why I actually take them out. Now, if we're going to go with tube feeders, there's different types of seed we can put inside there. The two general types we talk about are black oil sunflower seeds, and the other ones happen to be a mixed seed. There's a number of different types of seed that's inside of it. This one is a little less expensive. Black oil is a little bit more expensive, but you know what? The black oil seed tends to draw, I'd say it this way, because I find beauty in all birds. The black oil tends to draw some of the more beautiful backyard songbirds to your feeders. So, hey, if you're looking for, you know, the aesthetics of enjoying around, you know, the beauty around your house, well, then the black oil might be the go. And through experimentation over the years, I mean, for those of you that have tube feeders, some of you will notice that you can fill up a tube feeder in the morning, and by late morning, early afternoon, the feeder's completely empty, wiped out. Well, one of the things my good buddy Inspector Dave, and I film with Inspector Dave, the organic gardening pieces, we have gone to his home, my property. We have gone to seed bells, and seed bells are not that costly. I go strictly black oil. Inspector Dave will hang some black oil feeders, seed bells, and he'll hang some of the mixed ones. And it takes this, the birds actually have to work for their food, so to speak. They hang on the bells. There's this little netting that you hang up, and they will actually work for it. And I can get a seed bell to last, depends on the time of the year, and we're going to talk about timing a little bit. I can get them to last for a week, you know, sometimes not quite 2 weeks, but that's a great thing. And those of you that have tube feeders. And hey, if you like them, stay with them. I'm not trying to sell you on the one or the other. I'm just telling you my experiences with it. Some of you will spend quite a bit of money filling those tube feeders once, sometimes twice a day. Well, you've got the tube feeders, the seed bells, and then the third type of food that we can give out there is called suet. And suet, what I like is I have seed bells in the front because around my property, and I'll explain a little bit later on, you know, where we hang feeders and how we hang feeders. I've got my seed bells in the front. I've got my suet in the back. And the suet attracts many times different types of birds. For example, it attracts a lot of the different types of woodpeckers. And I was mentioning to you about the red-bellied woodpecker, real cool-looking bird. He will be on that suet feeder all year long. Well, you know what? They sell suet in all different flavors. And I give the analogy of this. If you happen to be a fisherman or a fisherwoman out there, we always talk about fishing lures. And fishing lures, they don't catch fish. They catch fishermen. What that means is you look in the store and you're looking at all these lures. You go, man, that's the coolest looking one. Well, he already caught you. You know, you bought it. But with the suet, with the flavors, there's all these different flavors. And some people are going, oh, look, this one's got blueberries in it. Well, guess what? You hang suet of any type and you're going to get the birds coming in. Might they come in for the blueberries? Yeah, but they're really coming in for the actual. And if you don't know it, suet happens to be fat. And especially in the winter months, this becomes something that specifically that woodpecker family, but many other birds, you get the chickadees, et cetera, they're coming in there for that. Now, here's your feeding rule. Once you start feeding, do not stop until, I'm not going to give you the date right now. This way you have to keep listening in the show for that date. But for those of you who are insect haters, you're going to go, all right, he's, once again, maybe it's like the fishing lure, and I'm luring you in, so to speak, to listen to this show. One of the things that I do, though, is I can give you a start date. You can check your area of the country. My start date is actually on Thanksgiving. I figure if I'm having a feast today, they should have a feast today. And, you know, you can watch all of my episodes at joeyb.tv, joey.tv, and at joeyb.tv, you can actually see, I actually have an episode that talks about food, feeding, topics very similar to today. You might want to check that one out. So you now know that I start feeding on Thanksgiving. And let's now talk about the second type of feeder. They're called platform feeders. There are, and they sell them. The platform feeders, it sounds just like what it is. There are some birds that would like to land on a flat area to feed. Henceforth, it could be the ground. But they sell platform feeders, so you can raise them up, obviously, higher than the ground. And you could take a look at the birds this way. And you need loose seed for that. So you can buy the, most people will do a mixed seed, and some people will do the black oil there. But the platform feeders. Now, for me, for platform feeders, I have one feeder that's right outside my front door, and I'll chat with you a little bit more about that. But I also take seed and simply throw it on the ground. And I'm getting my platform feeders, the cardinals, some of the blue jays. They'll come and land right on the ground right there. So I have the feeder hung in the tree, and then I have the feeders, you know, the platform feeder birds right on the ground. And I think it's real important, especially in the rough winters where we live, lots of snow. So I make sure that there is enough seed on the ground during those rough winters. So you now have the types of feeders and the types of seed that you could put in there. Okay, so now where do you hang these feeders? I'll say this. The key thing here is you're going to find a convenient location where you can view them from often. You know, maybe it's a room that you go to. It's, you know, you're looking out a kitchen window often. You're in the kitchen, you're working, you're cooking, you're cleaning, whatever you're doing. Or maybe there's a window somewhere near that you sit near. You have a nice reclining chair, rocking chair. So you're going to find where you can enjoy the beauty of nature for as long as possible. And let me say this. It is super peaceful, super enjoyable to, you know, be looking at the beauty of these birds. Well, my feeders, you know, one of them happens to be right out the front door. And I have a large observation area because I have these big, beautiful windows that are surrounding that bird feeder, you know, so we're inside. And the key thing here is you want to make sure that the feeders are close enough to wherever you're looking out that you don't need to see the bird with binoculars. Because, hey, if you have it at your kitchen window and you're doing the dishes, I don't think, unless you're really good at this one, you're going to have a pair of binoculars in one hand and your dish rag in the other hand. So, yeah, from that perspective, think about this. You want to just, you know, make sure they're close enough. So my front, it's amazing. I have a front porch, not enclosed, and I actually have the feeder maybe 10 feet from that. The windows, obviously large windows, I was explaining, have a great view of this area. So I can be, you know, roughly with the one set of windows 10 feet away. And then my suet feeders I have set up in the backyard because, once again, attracting different birds. Backyard of my, or back part of my home, I've got these huge windows that look out over the property. And when I hang the suet feeders, I get to see a different variety of birds that are there. Now, let's figure out, so how do you hang, where do you hang them? Well, you can go to a store, you can buy what's called a shepherd's hook. It looks like a long pole with, you know, a shepherd with a staff, but they're metal poles. And it's got a little hook on the top, a little loop and a hook that you could just simply hang them from there. And you could hang your feeders from this. The ones that are on my front property, I simply hang them from a branch from a tree. I have a beautiful flowering cherry tree, and I hang them off of that front yard. Here is the rule. If you're hanging, they must be at least 6 feet from the ground. And you go, well, how do you know that? Well, my good buddy Squirrel Jordan taught me all about this. My good buddy Squirrel Jordan, when I first moved onto this home, this property, I had a suet feeder in the back, and it wasn't quite 6 feet. It was probably, you know, somewhere around five. Well, Squirrel Jordan, let me tell you, you know about Michael Jordan and his jumping ability. Squirrel Jordan, it was enjoyable to watch him jump, but he would jump from the ground at least four, probably close to 5 feet, and get hung up on the feeder, and he would be dining away. So, you know, Squirrel Jordan taught me about the height of the feeders. Well, then there was also Ingenious Squirrel. An Ingenious Squirrel, he taught me about how smart squirrels truly are. And Ingenious Squirrel, he would go onto my front feeder, and I tried all of these different methods of getting Ingenious Squirrel to not climb onto, and this is when I had the seed bells out there, and he would just grab them, and it was like the Heisman Trophy. He would bite the netting of the seed bell, it would fall to the ground, and it was just like the Heisman. He'd pose out there for a little bit, smile at me, and then run off with the whole bounty. And I was like, no, this can't work. And actually, if you go to Joey B TV and you look at my comical episodes, there is one Joey B versus a squirrel, and it really was Joey B versus Ingenious Squirrel. And I won't tell you who won, but you can, I guess you can't see it, but I got a big old smile on my face right now. Hey, you know something? And I don't mind feeding the squirrels, but I do mind feeding them my whole bounty. So when I am throwing seed on the ground for my platform feeders, you know, the different types of sparrows, so we like to call them the LBBs, the little brown birds, and the cardinals, et cetera, all those other birds, I don't mind if the squirrels come along and take some of that seed and they're on the ground. I'll share with them because they are a beautiful animal to take a look at. And I get some close-up views of them. I do mind them taking all the bounty, but I do not, or I do mind when they, you know, they just run off with it. So here we go. Now, let's turn our attention now to birdhouses. Now, with birdhouses, you can purchase them at your local nursery, or if you're out in farm country, your feed store. There are bird supply stores, and you can go online, or you can simply, if you're a little bit handy, they're not difficult, you can build your own. And you know what's really cool about the birdhouses, especially the ones you purchase? They come in all shapes, sizes. You can buy condominium birdhouses. It's really cool. One of the houses that I actually have has a little front, and I'll talk about a little front porch, a little fence on it. You know, it just really looks like a country house. So it's pretty neat. Well, let's talk about, so what birds would go to a birdhouse? Well, there's two types of birds. We have birds that are called cavity dwellers, and then we have birds that are called nest builders. Well, the cavity dwellers, think about in nature, they would be going to look for maybe there's a hole in a tree or where a tree, two large branches come together. There's a little cavity. There's a little place for them to build their nest. All right. So we have those. And then we have simply the nest builders. And the nest builders are not going to go inside your birdhouse. They're going to build nests just like it sounds. But the cool thing is, by you feeding birds, you're going to get these nest builders to come around your house as well. So you're going to get to see some really cool nests being built. I've got some arborvitaes on one side of my home. And the mourning doves, they just love to get inside there, you know, decent-sized bird. And I actually, through one of the windows of my home, high up, I get to take a look and I watch them build. I watch them raise their young. Really, really cool stuff. So, I mean, we're talking about birdhouses, but let's not forget those nest builders. And mourning doves also are those platform-type feeder birds. So they're on the ground. And when the sun hits them, the colors on their wings, it just really, really, really pretty bird. Now, when you're buying or building a birdhouse, they all come with this little perch, this little wooden peg that sticks out. I am telling you right now to cut off that peg before you ever, ever hang your feeder or your birdhouse, sorry. And I'm going to tell you that if you're building a house and the plans say for this peg, it's a little wooden dowel. Do not put it on. You go, well, why? Because see what happens is a bird that's a larger bird that might feed on smaller birds will come and land on that peg and stick his head in the house and go, thank you very much, and pull out one little baby chicks and be gone with it. And you're going, no. Well, guess what? So you are forewarned now that those little pegs do not belong there. And it's funny. About 2 years ago, a scouting troop asked me to come in, and you know, I speak all over the country, and they asked me to come in and speak about building birdhouses. And I started to talk about this peg, and I looked inside the Boy Scout manual. So if you happen to be a Boy Scout leader out there, Girl Scout leader out there, in the Boy Scout manual, they show how to build a birdhouse, and they still have the peg on there. It does not belong on there. And this podcast is brought to you by Tranquility Mountain Backpacks. You can see the new Joey B. Signature Series at TranquilityMountain.com, where adventures begin. Now, let's talk about the size of the opening. So you buy a birdhouse or you build a birdhouse, and there are all these different openings. Well, the hole size corresponds to what type of bird will actually build a nest inside of that house. So I'm going to tell you this. You go online, and it gives you the dimension of the size of the hole. So I might say quarter inch, half inch. And the size of the hole is in direct correlation to what type of birds will actually go in there. And here's a key thing. You may want to attract a specific type of bird. It might be their song. It might be their color. Just general beauty. So it is imperative that you know the size of the hole. For me, right outside my front door, I tell you, I have the cherry tree there. And I have a house. And I purchased one with the hole size that the Carolina Wren loves to build in. So here's one of the cool things about the Carolina Wren. They actually, the male goes house shopping. He will actually start singing, and they have a beautiful song, and they will sing and show the female and say, okay, how about this house? How about this house? How about this? Because they're cavity dwellers, really. How about this cavity? And they go around, and you will actually hear them going bang, 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 all around your property, and the male will be showing the female, and they always end up at my house because, hey, it's a good-looking house. Now, maybe it's just because it's the perfect thing. But you see, I get them to sing. Then I get them to feed. And guess what? They're feeding their chicks insects. And we'll come back to that one a little bit for you folks that are just saying, well, I hate insects. Well, guess what? They're feeding insects. And it is amazing. They will feed, male, female, they will feed from first light to dark all day long. It is amazing to see the amount of work these Carolina wrens do. And the cool thing is, this is at a time of the year where it's warm. So I said I have a front porch, and on my front porch we have rocking chairs. And I could sit in a rocking chair 10 feet from this house. I don't disturb them at all. And I can actually watch them come land on that front porch. There is no peg. Land on the front porch. You could actually see the insect in their mouth, And when they land on the front porch, I guess the birdhouse itself, there's a little bit of imbalance, even though they're light. The birds, the chicks inside there, they could feel that imbalance, and they start calling up a storm. And the male or female will actually reach in with the insect, feed them. And you know what's really cool? Now, you think about this. If I said, all right, here, I have a mouthful of crackers, and would you sing me a song or would you whistle a song? And obviously you can't. I will see a Carolina wren with this huge insect in his mouth land, and he will begin to sing a song. So it's like mouthful of food and sings a song. So it's pretty neat. And another cool thing you can do is you can leave nesting materials. And there's a list online of all these different nesting materials that you can leave around and just hang them from trees or put them on your property. And you will actually see some of the birds take some of those nesting materials back to the birdhouses. For example, one is lint from your dryers. So some of you go, well, what do I do with the lint from your dryers? I don't know if you know this, but you can actually start fires in your wood-burning stoves and your fireplaces outside fire pits with the lint from your dryer. But here's another one for you. And this is not a nesting bird that we find right next to home. We typically find them in wetlands, but the red-winged blackbird. Now think about this. You want this nice in your bed, nice, soft, cushiony. They actually will take the tufts from the cattails from the year before, and they line their nest with them so the chicks have actually something soft. So you could see that, you know, leaving nesting materials around, just to give you that example, is a pretty cool thing. You know, your deal is to get as many birds to nest on your property because guess what? They also eat the insects. So the more birds I have nesting, whether they're cavity or bird or nest building, they're going to begin to eat insects. And, you know, you want to feed them until the birds. So you go around me. It's Thanksgiving and I feed until I see birds beginning to build nest or beginning to go into cavities or birdhouses. At that point in time, that's when I stop feeding them. You go, well, why would you stop? Well, I want them to rely on natural food sources at this point. Henceforth, one of them's insects. So I have less insects. You know, hey, I'm sure my plants around my house like that very much. So, hey, and I actually have, for example, I have milkweed that attracts, you know, monarch butterflies to lay their eggs. So actually I am attracting insects as well to my home. Because I have butterfly gardens and all that. But with that being said, I actually have the birds taking care of, you know, what I would call the pest insects that are there. So, you know, part two in the series, you know, is going to take us to the cast of backyard characters and the beauty that they bring to your property, to bring to your home. But I'm going to tell you that as soon as your windows can be open, open up your windows, enjoy the sights and sounds of nature. You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybee.tv. That's joeybee.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures. Joey B's adventure. Joey B's adventure. Joey B's adventure.
That was awesome.